This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Wednesday, July 3rd. Brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Downey. Here's today's headlines. Pesticide notifications coming soon. California ends fruit fly quarantine. And Moderna gets $176 million to develop flu vaccine. DPR finalizes its proposal for an alert system. The Department of Pesticide Regulation has modified its draft regulation to enact a notification system. The regulation would require farmers to submit their notices of intent online, which DPR would make publicly available. The goal is to alert residents ahead of applications to allow them time to go indoors and close their windows, which DPR believes would lower the risk of exposure to toxic pesticides. Ag groups and manufacturers have criticized the approach. It's causing alarm and hysteria. DPR is providing 30 days for stakeholders to comment on the draft and will hold three hearings this month, starting next week in Turlock. You can read about a scathing new audit of DPR in the AgriPulse West newsletter. It hits inboxes later this morning. California ends Cal fruit fly quarantine. CDFA this week announced an end to the year-long Tau fruit fly quarantine, the first of its kind in the Western Hemisphere. The quarantine included portions of Stevenson Ranch, Newhall, Castaic Junction, Oat Mountain, Del Valley, and the entire city of Santa Clarita. More than 300 crop varieties were subject to strict regulations during the quarantine, including fruits, nuts, vegetables, and berries. Commercial crops underwent additional processing measures before harvest. Four additional quarantines remain in the state, which pose a greater threat to the state's natural and agricultural resources. Among their recommendations, CDFA recommended citizens cooperate with agriculture officials for any possible pest inspections or treatments and to visit the CDFA's invasive fruit fly page to check where quarantine zones are in place. For travelers entering the U.S., CDFA said to avoid packing agriculture products into the country's borders. OSHA announces long-awaited heat standard proposal. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration yesterday proposed a heat standard that would require employers to develop plans for protecting workers from excessive temperatures such as those sweeping the U.S. this week. Workers all over the country are passing out, suffering heat stroke, and dying from heat exposure from just doing their jobs, and something must be done to protect them, Assistant Labor Secretary for Occupational Safety and Health, Doug Parker, said. Today's proposal is an important next step in the process to receive public input to craft a win-win final rule that protects workers while being practical and workable for employers. The standard, which applies to indoor and outdoor workers, has been in the works at OSHA since the beginning of the Biden administration. It sets 80 degrees Fahrenheit as the initial heat trigger and 90 degrees as the high heat trigger. Among the requirements, at 80 degrees, employers would have to ensure their workers have cool drinking water and break areas with cooling measures. That's according to an OSHA fact sheet. You can read our full report at AgriPulse.com. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. EPA says climate change has made growing season longer. A new report from EPA says climate change has lengthened the crop growing season across the lower 48 states by an average of more than 2 weeks since the start of the 20th century. There has been, quote, a particularly large and steady increase since the 1970s, the report says. Between 1895 and 2023, the length of the growing season increased at least 2 days in 44 of the 48 states in the lower U.S., the report says. Three others, Oklahoma, Mississippi, and Alabama, only saw losses or gains of up to 2 days, while Georgia saw its growing season decrease between 10 and 20 days. Washington, Oregon, and California saw increases of between 40 and 50 days in their growing season from 1895 to 2023, the report says. Fruit and Vegetable Advisory Committee needs new members. USDA needs members for its Fruit and Vegetable Industry Advisory Committee. The department is soliciting nominations to fill up to 25 upcoming vacancies on the committee, which provides advice on the produce sector to USDA, particularly its agriculture marketing service. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack appointed 25 members in 2022. Two members have served two terms, and 23 have served one term, which all expire October 28. New members will serve two-year terms. More information is available in today's Federal Register notice. HHS gives Moderna money to develop bird flu vaccine for humans. The Department of Health and Human Services is providing $176 million to Moderna that to develop a bird flu vaccine for humans. In the announcement yesterday, HHS said Moderna's influenza vaccine candidate, quote, uses current mRNA technology leveraged successfully during the COVID-19 response, resulting in one of the first two FDA-authorized and ultimately FDA-licensed COVID-19 vaccines. Three people were infected this year with the bird flu that made its way into more than 130 dairy herds in 12 states. Public health agencies maintain that the risk to humans is low. Moderna's mRNA pandemic flu vaccine is currently in early clinical development. Don Prater, acting director of FDA Center for Food Safety and Applied Nutrition, told reporters. He said the timeline may change, but we anticipate starting phase 3 trials in 2025. SCOTUS sends swamp buster case back to appeals court. A South Dakota farmer may get some relief from the Supreme Court's overruling of its 1984 Chevron decision. In a brief order yesterday, the court vacated an Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals decision that found the Natural Resources Conservation Service did not have to review a designation of wetlands on Arlen Foster's land. The court ordered the Eighth Circuit to look at its decision again, quote, in light of Loper Bright Enterprises versus Raimondo, the decision the justices issued on Friday. Our clients may now make their case in court without judges putting their thumb on the scale in favor of the government, said Paige Gelliard, an attorney at Pacific Legal Foundation, which is representing Foster. Well, here's today's He Said It. I am thrilled to see OSHA act on our calls to put the health and safety of our workers first. That California Senator Alex Padilla responding to the Labor Department's Federal Workplace East Standard. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Wednesday, July 3rd, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Dowling.